So Father Brian has been super busy this week with everything from a wedding to a funeral to planning a youth conference. So I'm pinch hitting today on this very last Sunday of the church's liturgical year. Now, the idea behind the church's calendar is that by the end of the year, we come full circle in the mysteries of Christ's earthly life and mission. We begin, of course, the new liturgical year next Sunday with the beginning of Advent, the first Sunday of Advent, when we prepare for the first revelation of God, the Son, to the world as baby Jesus at Christmas. And we conclude the year with today's solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, when we recall the very last mystery of salvation, when, as we say in the Creed, he will come to judge the living and the dead, right? And that is what we just heard metaphorically depicted in today's gospel. So we see that Jesus has willed that we, his disciples, are active players in the salvation of the world. If you and I profess that we are followers of Jesus, as we do each Sunday during the Creed, and that we bear the name of Christian, then we are called to be little Christ, right? As members of his mystical body, the church. Jesus is the vine, and you are the branches, exactly. So we are his branches that reach out and do the very works that he did during his earthly life. Don't believe me? This is what Jesus said. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Greater works than Jesus? I mean, as Arnold Jackson from Different Strokes would say, what you talking about, Willis? Right? How can we do greater works than Jesus? Well, what did Jesus say that going to the Father will do? His return to the Father would unleash the power of God, the Holy Spirit, upon the world, who lights a fire in each Christian who surrenders to his guidance and to his gifts. Jesus wanted what he did for the people of Israel to be done for people all over the world in every time and place, both the corporal works of mercy that we hear about in today's gospel and the spiritual works of mercy by which Jesus commands us in the Great Commission to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all that I have commanded you. And we've heard in the saints and even right here at our healing services, those same signs and wonders, the same kinds of miracles Jesus has done. So doing that for people of every time and place is certainly greater than just doing it in Israel. So that is our mission. And in the end, Christ, the King, will judge us according to whether or not we have fulfilled our mission. Lest we forget that and let the busyness of the world distract us from that central mission, what our worship here does each and every Sunday is get us back to center. Right? Get us back to the focus of our life here on earth, which in relation to the whole of our life is again just a speck of sand on endless miles of beach. We can forget the mission with which Christ the King entrusts us and instead simply live for this passing life. But the Eucharist returns our gaze back to him, who is the one lasting reality amidst the vicissitudes and the fleeting things of the world. The Eucharist returns our soul's gaze back to the conqueror of evil who brings final victory over that evil and the victory of faith, hope, and love, right? And yet, as today's gospel reveals, we can't be selfish with our life in Christ. We receive not so that we can hoard. We receive so that we can give. He gives us himself each Sunday so that we can give him to those around us throughout the rest of the week. You and I will ultimately be judged by whether we were like the goats, so absorbed in living selfishly for ourselves and the world's pleasures that we become totally oblivious to the needs of those around us, even our own family sometimes, or whether we were like the sheep who saw Jesus in our brothers and sisters and ministered to their needs. So if that's what we'll be judged on at the end of our lives, how do we intentionally go about living that out in our personal lives? And how do we intentionally live that out as a parish What's the game plan so that we will be ready, thrilled, and jubilant instead of surprised and afraid at Jesus' second coming as Christ the King? Archbishop Vigneron of Detroit recently led a year-long process of preparation for the Archdiocesan Synod that involved hundreds of Michigan Catholics, both clergy and lay leaders, to lay out the game plan. And in his pastoral letter, Unleash the Gospel, he calls all of us who profess to follow Christ to simply be a joyful band of missionary disciples. A joyful band of missionary disciples. That's the game plan. For parishioners to get together in their local areas to be a joyful band of missionary disciples. Can you picture yourself in that joyful band? As you know, hundreds of us here in the Diocese of Lansing, under Bishop Boyer's leadership, have been working on the particulars of what being a joyful band of missionary disciples might actually look like at the parish level. That's what we have been doing at the Diocesan Assembly of 2014 and 2016. So, Owen, if you'd please switch to the other slide. Oh, there it is. You may not be able to see what's going on in this diagram for the diocese because of the small print, but let me explain a little bit. At the first Diocesan Assembly in 2014, we focused on the inner green circle there, the focus being parish renewal, that is the building up of the household of faith. We want to build up our household so that you and I aren't just church-going Catholics, but have made the life-changing decision to surrender our lives totally to Jesus Christ and become his intentional disciples, living lives of prayer, study, community, and mission, right? Many of us recognize that since the first Diocesan Council in 2014, our parish family here at St. John has been undergoing a great spiritual renewal, spiritual maturity, right? A number of you have described it as a fresh breeze blowing throughout our parish that has given our, you know, birth to new life, new spiritual life, where people who have been going to church all their life are encountering Jesus Christ in ways that they have never before, and that you've sensed the Holy Spirit in powerful and transformative ways, discovering the richness of our faith that you never knew existed. To put it simply, you no longer just know in your head, but you've experienced that God is real. This has been the experience from a number of you I've heard, right? We praise and thank God that for that renewal and building up the core of our parish. With the second Diocesan Assembly of 2016, with the theme called by name, our focus last October turned to reaching out to the lost sheep, inviting fallen away Catholics back. And on that visual that's represented by the dark blue circle, just outside the green circle, 50 of our parishioners went to that assembly, where the emphasis was on how to welcome non-practicing Catholics back to the church. That's where our Alpha and our Catholicism 101 courses and all the faith formation events that we've been having come in, encouraging you to invite people that you've been praying for their return to the church, right? Mass isn't always the best first thing to which to invite someone, because Mass isn't meant to be evangelization for the new. It's nourishment for the already evangelized, those who are already disciples. Because someone who doesn't understand the great cosmic significance of what's happening here at the holy sacrifice of the Mass may think it's totally boring, right? It's not their fault, because they just don't know. So that's why something that first introduces the person of Jesus Christ and the basics of the faith may be the better option for someone who has left the church with only an eighth grader's knowledge of the faith and never really surrendered their life to God in the first place, never really was a disciple. So coming off of that second assembly in the fall of 2016, the bishop asked all the priests for everyone to think of, for their faithful to think of one or two people for whose return they could specifically pray. If you remember, in late October last year, if you were here for that weekend, that's when Father Brian and I asked everyone at Mass to review a pamphlet called My Personal Evangelization Plan that the bishop asked us to give to everyone. And during that Mass, each of us thought of a couple of folks who we wanted to personally reach out through the four pillars of evangelization. Do you remember those four pillars? It's right there on the visual, on that dark blue circle, right? The first thing we do after identifying the people in our life who have fallen away is to pray for them. This is not to be just kind of like over. In fact, we've been doing it for the entire last year, right? Prayer is the essential foundation because it's in prayer that we see other people through God's pure eyes of love. And it's in prayer that we share in God's yearning to bring those sons and daughters of His to Himself. It's in prayer that we cultivate the same deep concern for people's salvation and their eternal happiness that God has for our loved ones, that they are part of the sheep and not the goats when all is said and done. With that foundation of prayer, the second pillar of evangelization then is the witness of our lives. So prayer and then witness. We are to witness the difference our relationship with God makes in our everyday life. There is nothing more attractive than the life of virtue and the joyful witness of the unsurpassable peace that God gives us, even in the most bitter struggles of life. Right? This is why the lives of the saints are so alluring, so captivating. It's why 60,000 people showed up at Ford Field last weekend, for all for a simple priest who barely passed seminary and died 60 years ago. Right? The saints radiate Jesus, but in their own unique way. And that's what each of us are called to do, to radiate Jesus, but in our own unique way. But this presupposes that we've actually invested time to grow in our faith. You know, we've been spending the last year laying down the foundation by praying for those couple of people we identified last year. Hopefully you've been praying for them daily. Many Sundays there after that October weekend, we were praying a Hail Mary and whatnot at each Mass. This year, we want to take it to the next level. We want to focus on being a witness to them by personally growing in our faith. And in this second pillar, there are actually four essential components in the life of a disciple that empower our lives to have an effective witness. Again, those four components are in that innermost yellow circle. As an intentional disciple of Jesus Christ, number one, daily prayer, communicating with God in some way, in some fashion. Number two, study. Number three, community. And number four, all three of these empower us for number four, and that is mission of loving service to those in need, both in bodily and spiritual need, right? Mother Teresa said it was the latter that was the deeper poverty. If we do those first two things, if we pray, number one, and number two, we witness with joy, then that's when we're ready to do the other two pillars of evangelization that we'll cover next week when we invite and when we accompany. So in conclusion, we have some homework for you, for all the faithful of the entire Diocese of Lansing, actually. We'll receive it this weekend at all the Masses. So at this time, I'd like to ask our greeters to help distribute the Grow and Go pamphlets. So the bishop asked us to give out these pamphlets specifically this weekend of Christ the King, introducing our theme of Grow and Go, leading up to the third diocesan assembly on Saturday the 22nd of next year, when we hope 10,000 people will gather at the Breslin Center in East Lansing. So what you'll see there in the Grow and Go pamphlets are four questions on the left side, four questions on the right side. For this week, we're just going to deal with the questions on the left side. We're just going to take some time to distribute them. And I want you to pray about how you specifically will grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's one question per each of those four essential components of a life of a disciple of Jesus. Number one, a question about prayer. When in your day will you commit to pray? If you're going to make it in your day, you have to schedule it, even if it's, you know, only 5 to 10 minutes. Pick a time and pick a place. And number two, a question about study. What can you study, read, and attend to learn about your faith this week? Right? The day of rest is a good time to do that, but some of us are better when we want to unwind and read something of the faith. Maybe it's reading our Advent Blue Book that's coming up next week. Maybe it's grabbing one of the books in the entrance of the church or checking out our Bible studies or Catholicism 101. Number three, a question about engaging with the parish family, community, right? How can you become more involved in your parish? It's hard to take a stand for your faith out in the world when you don't have any fellow Christian friends who can support and grow with you. And finally, number four, a question about loving service. What can you do? What can you volunteer to do this month to help those in need? So by living out our lives of prayer, study, parish life, and service, you invest in the most important and meaningful things in life. And your life becomes a witness to the world that there is another, more joyful, more meaning way to live than what all the media ads tell us, right? And that witness opens the people around us to that invitation to coming back to God's embrace.